It's Jen Suzuki, and I'm in the industry. I meet some of the greatest leaders out there, dealer execs, dealers, GMs, and I'm bringing them in the studio to talk to me about what's making their business pop, what's accelerating their growth. I'm sharing my own personal strategies for your sales team, so I'm ready to get after it. Are you? Welcome back, listeners. It's Jen Suzuki, and I have a guest today, and I can't wait for you to hear a little on her background. We'll start with that, and then we're going to get into more of an educational episode today on how we can look at buyer's stages. Car buyers are in many stages as they do their research. They've got different mindsets on their activity that they're conducting online through that research process, and then they start hitting up sites, and they start looking at vehicles. And there are some equations out there that sort of lead us to these lower funnel, I would call them lower funnel opportunities for the dealerships to be able to work. And so some of the messaging that's out there for the various stages that buyers are in, we're going to have that conversation today with an expert and someone who is well-respected in the marketing industry. I can't wait for you to hear what she has to say. And she's going to share with us different things that we should be looking at when we are looking at ad budgets out there and how we are stacking them up to what messages we're putting out there for customers at their various stages. So she'll walk us through what these buyer stages look like. And anyways, without further ado, let me welcome Suzanne Reamer.
So nice to have that some setup and intro. Thanks, Jen. happy to be here. So just a little on my background. I've been in marketing for 25 plus, let's say. I don't like to say the exact number anymore. But I've spent time at large companies, well-known companies like Campbell Soup, Unilever, AT&T Wireless. Mm-hmm. But back in 2013, I pivoted to smaller businesses in tech because those companies were actually, believe it or not, latent in digital, even though they're big brands and you know about them, but they're a little behind digitally. Hmm. I was exposed to automotive tech first while back at Automotive Mastermind, and I jumped on that bandwagon and I became their VP of marketing. I was the first marketing hire, and I took them through their acquisition of IHS Market.
Okay.
And helped them triple their business and gain notoriety as one of the leading behavior prediction technologies in the auto space. I left the space during COVID just because packaged goods was needing a lot of help because they were starving because everybody was back at home using a lot more consumer goods.
Yes.
I helped sort of bring, you know, help them from more digital transformation. So that was exciting, kind of going back and helping them. But then I realized that I really wanted to go back after the COVID dust had settled. I wanted to go back into smaller businesses and startups, and made my way as now the VP of marketing and customer acquisition at LotLink.
Well, congratulations. I can tell you this. I look at your posts on LinkedIn, and when you made the transition to LotLink, I was like, everyone was so excited for you to make the jump. I could tell people in your circle were very excited for you. You have a great reputation. And I'm thrilled that you can share some time with us and expertise. You have quite a background, a lot of diversity. And there's a lot of companies right now in the automotive space that are capturing dealership database information, tracking clients, all that online behavior in relation to looking for a vehicle and even all of their service needs. On one hand, I have to say, when I look at these results, I look at these patterns, I look at this behavior, I look at customer journey, all the sites they've been on, all the exploring they're doing. It's actually really neat. You can see like actual journeys people like you and me are taking prior to making a vehicle purchase. And now AI is collecting all this information. And they're able to say, hey, there's different moments that buyers are in. And we have always thought, so, you know, especially me, because I work in the stores, I'm working on sales process, especially with internet leads. And I'm like, all right, as soon as they pull the trigger, they submitted their contact information on the form. It's like, it's a lead. This is a buyer. And in the past, it has been that way. But now that we have all this new tech and I'm watching companies track this behavior, even for me, I'm like, now it makes sense because a lot of the leads I work on the dealerships, they're, well, I have some strong language for them, but I'm going to reserve myself on that right now. Because here's the thing. It's like I'm working these internet leads and the people, like, they pick up the phone, they just hang up on you. It's like, are you really in market? Are you messing around? And you look at the forms and marketing experts will say, you know, we have too many forms. They have to do too much. They have to put their information in these forms in order to find out the information, unlock the information they're looking for. So they really aren't even in market. They just want to see a price. They just want to see availability. And so all of these considered, you know, we've got people banging their heads against the wall trying to work junk leads. And I know there's got to be better ways. So it's neat to see that information, but, you know, it's also a little creeper because you can see a lot and make some assumptions too, as I have done in the past. But anyways, what are your thoughts on all of this stuff that's happening and what does it mean for dealers that are trying to snatch up car buyers during their digital search and get them to engage and buy from the store?
Well, I think, you know, we obviously, you know, here at Lotlinks, you know, we leverage a lot of machine learning. And what machine learning is really capturing consumer behavior patterns. Mm-hmm. So it's not as creepy as you think. Like we actually don't even track cookies, you know, so it's really more about really studying the patterns of, you know, consumers are doing it like 4 hours plus of research online when mm-hmm. they're buying it. This is a big, you know, this is your second biggest purchase to a house for the everyday. You know, obviously you have your elites who are buying boats and planes, but that's a small percentage of people. But next to your house, your car is your biggest purchase. So right. They're doing a ton of research. So, mm-hmm. so we're trying to capture, you know, we're capturing where do they go to, you know, where are they going to do this research? You know, what is the patterns, you know, and that's what machine learning is doing. It's capturing those patterns of behavior and really making, you know, profiles of all these people, you mm-hmm. know.
Well, one of the things I've liked about working with Lotlinks over the years is that they were the first in the game when it comes to AI marketing, and they have been tracking. You know, we're all pumped on ChatGPT. I literally just said this to one of my colleagues about 20 minutes ago. I'm like, I'm using ChatGPT for everything. I can't believe how much more time I've got back in my day. But here's the thing, you know, ChatGPT, it's AI tech, and this is what Lotlinks, you know, has been using since the beginning. They are the OGs. And so now they have far more time to collect all this data and make it some determinations on equations. But, you know, you've got all these different buyer stages and maybe, you know, and that comes with mindsets too. People are in different mindsets as they start to look at cars, go to different sites. And now you're tracking this and you can decide, okay, boom, we have an end market buyer. But just can you maybe walk us through some of these stages and these mindsets? And help us understand what a lead funnel really is, what it looks like, how it's evolved.
Yeah, so I think before I do that, I think it's important to go back and what are the key things that you need to set up okay. in terms of when you're thinking about your marketing and your approach is that you really need to have very specific objectives and like, what are you trying to do as a dealership in to really market to people? Like really, where are your challenges and really understanding what are your business goals and challenges? And before we get to the funnel, really think about, you know, what, you know, it's more of a higher order. Like, what are you trying to do? And so each campaign and each time period should have like an overall goal. Like, are you trying to, you should be asking yourselves, you know, is it new or used? Am I trying to shorten my days on of cars of inventory on lot? Am I losing margin? Like, you believe it or not, these need to be tied back to your overall campaign, the campaigns you set up. And then you need to break those campaigns down to okay. how do you market within the funnel? So within the funnel, you know, you have, you know, multiple, you have multiple stages, you know, so you have people who are not interested, but they might be interested down the road. So you want to do more, you know, branding stuff, you know, and then you have casual interests. Maybe their lease is up in a couple of months. So they're sort of, you know, you're just their curiosity, maybe new models are coming out or, you know, so they start sort of exploring, but they're not nearly ready right okay. now. Mm-hmm. And then you get into that intensive search and comparison, you know, those are more middle of the funnel. They're like in the heat of it. They're probably closer to, you know, look, I don't think there's a perfect, I couldn't tell you the time frame, but mm-hmm. like, know, probably within 2 months, I would say, you know, but they're in that intensive search and comparison and comparing different models. Then you know, you get to what are all narrowing down, like what are the 3 or 4, you know, brands, cars test drive, you know? Mm-hmm. And so then they're, you know, probably reaching out to specific dealerships to start. And then, you know, obviously then the final, you know, that close to end stage when they're about to make that final purchase decision. So as you can see in that, there's different headspaces and where you are mentally. So if you are, you know, if you're not matching your communication to where their headspace is, that can be a detriment to a dealer, potentially.
Well, sure, because it's a miss. Because if I'm just starting, you know, to check out some options, maybe my lease is coming up in 6 months, you know, and you're over here like, you know, giving me an aggressive ad, like maybe I don't care about a payment maybe right now. Maybe I don't care about rates right now. I'm just trying to figure out how many cars have a seven passenger seating.
Correct. Yeah. And what that can do is that can really turn somebody off. If you are, you know, it's almost like, you know, that the old fashioned car dealership kind of comes to the surface, you know, and that, you know, I don't want to say, you know, that, you know, too salesy, too pushy. And they might feel put off of that and they might walk away from your dealership because you're sending off the wrong signals in terms of where that person is.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that makes sense. So you've got like sort of this customer journey of all these different stages, and we get it. It's like we need to be able to serve up ads, or we need to be able to match people to the right information that they're looking for, and that could possibly even be on a dealer's site, you know, linking them back to that particular information, not necessarily pushing them to, you know, move forward in a purchase. If it's too early, that'd be a miss.
Yeah, so things that they could do early, you know, they should be promoting their dealership, their personnel, what kind of service, general service offerings, do they have delivery, you know, things that, what philanthropy does a dealership do? Just really sell the if they're very family forward, family, like whatever their core values, they should be selling their core values in the earlier stages, because when somebody is in more intense shopping mode, that dealer is going to come out as you know, really, you know, a valuable like person company I want to do business with, you know.
Okay, I just have to stop for a moment because this is so on point with a lot of the stuff I've been talking about in my classes today, and I am for this. What you're saying, and this is critical, it sounds so basic, but I just want to take a moment because you're talking about advertising, and I'm going to take a little bit of a turn because it runs parallel to a lot of the stuff that I've been sharing with dealers and my clients in their marketing messages. So a lot of times these internet leads, you know, going back to sending the wrong message at the wrong time, a lot of them have submitted these leads and, you know, we're going hard after them. You know, we're like, when can you come in for a test drive? You know, have you looked at payments yet? You know, are you still in the market? Just following up, checking in, touching base. Are you still in the market? Just these salesy vibes. And if they're getting, you know, 5, 6 other dealerships compete, you know, on the same lead, all hitting them up at the same time, it's total overwhelm. And a lot of times the customers aren't even in market. We're sending them all these salesy messages. And this is why we're getting ghosted in the stores. So a lot of these leads, you know, you're getting ghosted. And this is my new message. And this is a good takeaway for our episode 2. It's the same concept that you're talking about. You're talking about marketing messages and aligning with the journey. And I'm saying, hey, your internet lead follow-up process, you got to align with the journey. Because if these people ghosted you at 3 days after they're not in market, send them stuff about your store. Send them content about your brand.
You know, what would be a good idea? Because I'm not just talking about advertising. I mean, it is email too. Because everything follows suit to me. That's all marketing. So from an email perspective, and I don't think dealerships are doing this. I just thought of it as you were talking. You know, why don't we actually send them an email back asking them the questions like, you know, where are you on your, you know, where are you on your shopping journey? You know, how can I be of assistance to you? What questions do you have? And or even on their phone calls, maybe do that instead of going for the hard sell. Just it's really a soft approach. And I don't think I've ever seen that from a dealership personally. Well, so
this is a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about in my classes, because we have to change the mindset in the content mm-hmm. that we're pushing out to people. You know, when they don't hit you back, you know, it's because they're not in market. You got to switch your messaging more towards, hey, let's talk about why this is the place to come back to. Because when you do get in the market, okay, we want you to choose us. So we're going to keep feeding you information to help you make a decision on the location that you choose to visit. You're only going to go to 1.5 stores, they say today. You know, so we want to make sure that as they're in that research phase, they're getting pushed messaging online through their digital shopping, right, Suzanne? And then on the other hand, they submit, you know, their contact info. We're sending them the right messaging based on where they're at. And, you know, it is kind of a guessing game in some regards. How does a dealer align with the messaging and knowing the journey that customers are on? Do you put that in somebody else's hands? You know, I mean, what are some steps?
Maybe that is in their callback process that is really more about feeling the consumer out, you know, with more, you know, just soft touch questions, you know, so they can actually figure out where they are. Mm-hmm. And then they can send them to specific landing pages or needs. So the biggest thing with this kind of marketing is that you have to be able to lead them to the answers to the questions they are asking at that time. So
that's key.
In the earlier part of the funnel, they're like, which car is best for me? Because mm-hmm. maybe they made a life transition. That's a really good time to really market to people. They've just had a baby. They're moving to suburbia from the city. And so they're thinking like, you know, which SUV or which is it minivan or SUV? Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's mm-hmm. almost like thinking about what their stages are and what is going to be the information that is best for them. And, you know, as it goes on is like, is this particular car right for me? Like, then you do the vehicle comparison page, you know, so they can do that for themselves on your site. So it's really thinking through. Don't just send them to a lead form. Don't just send them to your homepage. But you really, people have no patience anymore. You need to deliver the destination. You need to anticipate what questions are they asking of mm-hmm. what stage and provide them with the right landing destination, mm-hmm. right information.
Mm-hmm. And I love this because I could actually visually see in my own personal life, I have 3 girls. They are not getting younger. They are getting bigger. And I keep saying to myself, I need a third row seat. And so the messaging that would be effective for me right now as I'm doing my online search would be, hey, a family's growing. What cars have third row seats? Look at our inventory and see these options, right? It's sort of leading them to where this information is, maybe even just on a dealer site and thinking about the questions that people have as they have these lifestyle changes that changes their needs and their vehicle needs.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me, we've talked a little about some of the stages. Can you tell me what a lead funnel is and what that might look like, you know, for the people listening today? If I've tried to get a visual, maybe I'm hoping you're really good at this.
It's hard via, you know, podcast and audio only. But, you know, so a lead funnel is really creating, like, you know, obviously your beginning is awareness. So that is, you know, from strangers to visitors. So before, they may not know of your dealership, they're coming. And so, you know, with a lead funnel, you want to make sure you're aligning the right tactics, not only the right communication, but the right tactics, because there's certain tactics that don't make sense in the awareness funnel. Then you know, the funnel is awareness. Then you go down to conversion where, you know, then they become more leads because they're, you know, they're in more of that middle of the funnel active stage, you know, and then you have the, you know, bottom of the funnel, you know, when they're ready to, you know, really ready to pull the trigger, you know?
Okay.
And so there's definitely, and this is something I, you know, we could send out potentially to your audience too, if they want, you know, creating a chart of like, what are the right tactics? I don't want to go through all the whole laundry list because it's a lot right now, but there's, you know, the right, you know, right tactics for the right, you know, stage. You know, I mean, there's some of them that work in all the stages, but the communication should be different. If it's mm-hmm. the same tactic, like search engine marketing, social media,
okay,
those are things that you could do in everyone. you know, but the messaging should be different based on where that person is. And people will be like, oh, that sounds really complicated, but it really isn't. It's just a question of really breaking down, you know, your creative into sort of three sets and following it, you know, making sure you're following it through the journey.
Hey, listeners, hang tight. I got a lot of great info coming up after a word from our sponsor, LotLinks. By now, you've probably heard the team at LotLinks say that over 70% of your inventory is not receiving marketing exposure. Whether you believe them or not, have you taken a look at your analytics to be sure? The LotLinks VinView Optimizer is a free analytics tool that can give you a pricing, demand, and engagement analysis for every VIN on your lot. It's the most efficient way to ensure your inventory is getting the right attention for the right price. The best part is that the data is pulled straight from your own Google Analytics and store feed. There's no bias from any channel or marketing platform, including LotLinks. So if you're interested in a transparent look at your inventory analytics, head to lotlinks.com/VVO to get started with the free tool. And check out the LotLinks website in the show notes.
So you got to have goals. You got to have goals for each of these moments in the journey, which you're saying you're identifying as awareness, as being the top of the funnel. Hey, I'm just trying to figure some stuff out, figure out what's going on. Conversion. Now they're like, okay, we're not just poking around. Now we've submitted a lead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now, okay, so they could be in different mindsets there as well. And then, okay, now I've got to choose my store. Now I'm going to choose my car. I'm going to close was your next part of that funnel. And then at the very bottom, you know, we are more into maybe a customer service sort of a phase. They've purchased. We're like trying to maintain them.
So that's more like selling them on, you know, selling them on your service offerings, your, you know, what, and then maybe referral programs to try and get other leads.
Okay.
Here's where you want to make fans that can potentially be brand ambassadors of your dealership. And it's worth doing that because, again, this is these are high margin, you know, items. It's not, you know, so if you can get your customers to be ambassadors for yourselves, I mean, that's a home run.
Well, I agree because it's all about retention. This is what I say to my clients every day. We are selling for retention. I want to make sure they have a great experience online with us. Our website's easy to use. You know, they're getting the right marketing messages from us at the store, you know, and they feel good. They want to leave an online review. They want to send a good survey. They want to come back to the service department. They want to service their car there. They want to buy another car from you. And that's really the rotation that, you know, we're after. So a lot could go wrong along the way, a lot of touch points in there.
Even sending, like, it's interesting because from a follow-up standpoint, I don't remember if I've even gotten these, but like,
yeah,
it'd be nice to say on your 1 year that you have the car, like send a car, you know, send a card. And I think there's little things that can go a long way with customer service and customer experience. And I'm not seeing a lot of that stuff. It's also good to look at other industries to see what they're doing in terms of, you know, consumer retention, you know, and customer retention, and also, you know, customer experience, like sending somebody, if you happen to have their birthday in their day, sending somebody a birthday card, sending somebody an anniversary card. Again, if you want them
nurture
back 3 years, 3 years later, mm-hmm. you know, think about what the journey is. Like, take the journey all the way through to the potential repurchase, mm-hmm. but really plot it out to say, you know, what are the touch points that I want to have with this customer? And what does that look like? And at the end of the day, you don't want to over-communicate with them either, because that could be a turnoff.
Yeah, so,
you know, it's a gentle balancing act, but it really needs to come out authentic. And authenticity is really, really important. Authenticity in your communication, but there's people behind the dealership. Expose them to the people behind the dealership.
Yes.
Have it come from a service person, you know, as a follow-up. They tend to throw the OEM surveys kind of quickly out at you. And I always cringe at those. And I'm like, you know, they're going to be graded on that. So I always just check off high marks just because I know they're going to be graded on that. Mm-hmm. But like, Why don't you send your own variation of that? That really is a little bit more authentic and come, you know, that it's coming from the dealership. You know?
Well, I do really like the concept of showcasing the store in a favorable way. One thing I had suggested to one of my clients recently was, hey, you have a team of people that have been here for 15, 20 years. That means something. You know, you've been a staple in this community for 50 years. That means something to community. People like to buy from local, small business. When you tell people who you are, what you do, that's part of your story, your branding. You know, we're local, we're small business. Our team has been with us, you know, most of them for half their lives. You know, these are some of the real challenges our employees have faced with car buying in the past. These are some of the real issues they've had with their car. It's the same issues as every single customer we see every day. You know, I've got service bills that are racking up. It's time to get a new car. I just had a baby. I need to get a new car. I just had, you know, my kids are going, they're getting teenage years. They can't even get their friends in the car. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's like a million things that that transform and evolve in our lives. And I think this is the stories we could be telling to people. It's, hey, we're relatable. You know, our team has been through some of the same challenges. Here's how we corrected it. Now I'm a problem solver in the sales process, but showcasing these stories and the branding and the marketing message really show some insights as to what this store is all about, who these people are that I'm going to go and work with or be getting my car serviced here, and really showcasing the value of a factory authorized facility.
Right. And showing just ads with prices all the time when you're in those earlier stages is just
not necessary.
It's a turnoff too.
Well, you're going to get a bad lead, right? I mean, how do you discern a good lead from a bad lead?
Yeah. And it's really based on, well, where you got them from. And knowing, you know, I don't even know if this is being done a lot either, but it's conversion tracking. Are they actually looking at where the source of the leads and then what did it lead to at the end of the day, and really mapping that out to discern better lead providers than others? And I don't know. Do you know? I don't know if that's happening. So personally, but.
Well, I don't want to say any names, but I do know that you can find out. So, yeah, no,
yeah,
you're
no,
right.
This is you should be able, you should be mapping, you should be tying those leads in your system
to results.
You can look at your Google Analytics. Where did that lead come from as the source of the lead? And then at the end of the day, you know, track that through the point of sale. That, from a data standpoint, is really, really critical. So if the dealers aren't doing that, they need to start doing that. Because then how do you evaluate those lead providers if you're not looking at conversion? So it's not just about a lead for a lead. It's about the quality of the lead and did they convert?
And some of them may not convert for a long time.
Correct. But you should be keeping that to say, you know, even if they still took 6 months to convert, it still converted. So that's not terrible. But like at the end of the day, you want to track time, the length of time with the lead providers too. Like the average with this lead provider, the average conversion rate was X percent. The average length of time between lead form to closed one, as we call it, like in the B2B land, but closed one is X amount of time. So we're, you know, it's interesting because I think what's happening is B2B and B2C stuff you know, this has been in the B2B world, but I think because we need to be so much more performance driven and performance marketing driven that the worlds are like colliding in terms of the approach right now. And I've been on both, so I can, you know, I have that lens.
So what would you say are the mistakes that people are making, or what should dealers do in order to get ahead of this and to really, we're talking about this journey and I'm visually seeing it. And I'm thinking that's maybe a first step for dealers that you said it's identify the goals. You know, what are you trying to do? Move aged units. You're trying to move some of these very specific new cars that have been sitting too long. So figure out your goals and figure out your problems, your challenges, right? And then there's got to be something else that becomes like a next step for us and mapping out maybe what that journey looks like and mapping out messaging. What would you suggest?
That's what a marketer does. It's literally mapping out each of the stages again, but it has to all ladder up to what your core objectives are.
Okay.
And then mapping out the stages and say, here are the tactics I want to do. And this is the kind of messaging that falls within these tactics. And then make sure their advertising, you know, communication ladders up to all of that. So everything follows.
Okay. So you've got to determine where the people are at based on their search behavior. Mm-hmm. And you've got to create these personas, determine messaging, and mm-hmm. you've got to be checking your funnel that we talked about and yep. the different mindsets that people are in. And then what do we do?
And then it's a lot of testing and learning, you know, okay. a lot of testing. So it because you're not going to get it right. And it is a lot more.
It's going to take time.
It's a lot more disciplined of a behavior. It's easy to do spray and pray ads and right. just put stuff out there. And people, you know, it's interesting. It's like, I feel like dealerships put marketing at the bottom of the priority list sometimes. Which is sad to me because that's my discipline. But I think because it's, you know, I think people think it's just if they throw it out there, they will come. And it doesn't work. Like, people are so messaged out. I mean, when you think about all the short fuse messaging and, you know, social media, and they're getting messages from, you know, OTT and CTV and television. And so it's so splintered right now.
Okay.
People, you know, you have to be so specific now and you have to anticipate what a consumer wants at that time in the right place.
Yeah.
And if you don't get it, you're not going to win. And that's why it's so important to really break this down this way.
I think this is exciting. It's definitely a turn from what we've seen dealers do in the past. I 100% am behind it. And that's strictly because I've seen the patterns. Once you see the patterns, you know, mm-hmm. you thought that lead when they submitted their contact it was hot. It's not hot. Anybody in the BDC or salespeople that are handling this, they'll tell you a lot of them aren't hot. And so this is a reminder. This is the moment where we say to ourselves, we need to change the messaging all the way around what they're seeing online. We've got to connect with people based on where they're at in their journey of research. There's a lot of pain points out there, identifying common pain points that we all go through that puts us into the car market. A lot of it is growing families or car troubles. These are the messages we could be putting out there and be more relatable to people and help them through their journey of research instead of like sell, right? That's the message.
Yeah. And at least that's, yeah. I mean, again, it's really, you know, people are looking for authenticity and transparency, like I said before. So even if there's nothing wrong with asking the consumer questions, I think they would appreciate that. And so you're doing your own discovery work with those leads, you know, instead of just making assumptions, ask the questions. And you know what? Why not even throw something, you know, out like send them a quick little like questionnaire and offer them a cup of coffee online, you know, a gift card to Starbucks or something to fill it out and be like, hey, this coffee's on us. Just, you know, we'd love to learn more about where you are, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and again, if it's done in a very authentic, communicative, natural style, people would love that.
And they see that you care. You're asking for their opinion. People will give you their opinion. I love it. I love the reach out. Yeah. So, you know, we've looked at several different types of journeys and you'll get validated through doing a quick little survey, you know, with your customers to find out where they're at in that buying process. You can also see why they're in the car market. I think we could guess on a few of these things, but now you could correlate it to the things that your dealership offers. I mean, some people still have loaners. Some people don't. You have loaners. You're sort of, you know, that's something I'm going to let people know.
They have delivery. They'll deliver.
Deliver a car. Yeah.
You know,
that's experience.
You're not limited to the dealerships near you anymore. And so, and that's why it's a really competitive market right now. So dealers have got to do things to differentiate themselves.
It's true.
Really
I have, I, It's so true. I mean, I have a dealer that does mobile servicing. You know, they couldn't get enough technicians in their shop, you know, and the customers were waiting to get an appointment. They problem solved it. Have remote, you know, service trucks going out to people's driveways like, and doing oil changes.
Like Geek Squad. Yeah, it's like almost like their own Geek Squad.
But that's an ad. That's an email. That's promotion on your site. Yeah, they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah, no, they think that's great.
And people today, especially younger generations, they want to buy from companies that are doing, as you mentioned, philanthropy earlier, but they're doing charitable.
For millennials and Gen Z, it is so critical right now. And that's who they should be marketing to now.
Then, you know, I say this all the time. Like, you guys literally do so many events. You're raising so much money. You know, these are things that people care about. Why aren't we saying it in our sales process? Hey,
I've never seen anybody promote that.
Yeah,
and they do a lot.
Dealers do so much for their communities. They get involved with the school systems, and then it translates to sales process questions like, hey, you have kids? Do you have kids in this school district? You know, we just donated $50,000 to backpacks back to school, you know, to this and that. It's just they're all their athletic teams. I mean, these are the messages we could be putting out there. All of us have, you know, we have something that we could relate to as long as we see the message that's relatable, you know, and it doesn't always have to be sell. It can just be about testimonials, people's experiences buying in the store. It could be about the fact that we've had inventory constraints and where we're at currently in the market, an update in the market, you know, so far. It could be things that you're offering, something that I say all the time is like, if you have a digital retailing tool and you can do, like you mentioned, remote, you know, deals, why aren't you putting that out there in an ad? Let the people know what you do, that you've simplified the car buying process. You've taken away the pain points that people cringe at. You know, if you've solved it, put it out there.
Yep.
So we went through a lot of different message types here. There's a lot for the funnel. Where are you at in the funnel? Yep. We got a message for you. No. Okay.
I think we went through. We got through it all, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I think it's definitely eye opening. You're such a great source of information, and I feel that your topic is so on point with where we're at in the industry. Certainly, where I'm at too. You can tell I'm very excited about this topic because I'm talking about it from a different angle. But I definitely think this is a great opportunity for people to open their eyes and say, hey, you know what? I'm willing to try something new.
Yeah. And I'll be, because of you and some others who express interest, I'll be doing a webinar. So there's some visuals attached because I think there's, it's good to have some visual cues with this because a lot of it is a lot, it's a little too much for audio to get into the depth of details. So stay tuned for that as well, you know, coming down the pipe.
This is good. Well, I'm just going to wrap up by saying, hey, the salesy messages are still great. They are for a certain market, you know.
At the bottom of the funnel.
Right.
Which doesn't mean they're bad. They just means that they're good for their own. So just make sure that you're putting those where you'll be a lot more effective. You'll sell cars at a higher profit. You will move cars faster if you make sure you're using the right messaging at the right time.
I love it. Yes, this is the point. This is it, you know? So there's all those various points in the funnel that we tend to be marketing towards the lower funnel. Not everybody's in the lower funnel. So we got to mix it up, put some different messages out there that will be very authentic and genuine and relatable. And I thank you so much, Suzanne, for your expertise today. Very timely. Great topic.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So if you're liking these episodes where I'm sharing sales techniques with you, I actually have some more resources where you can gain some more content to help you really improve your sales approach. All right, so you can go to two places. One, you could hit up our company, edealersolution.com. There are videos, there are training tools. Just go check it out. And secondly, you can go to my blog, jennifersuzuki.com. I am publishing lots of information on a weekly basis, but do not forget to follow me on social, FB, IG, Twitter, LinkedIn, all of those. And I'm posting every single week on those channels too.
Once again, this is Dealer Talk with Jen Suzuki, and I'll see you next time.